Okay, the tour in Tuf Kuf Pei in Aleph or Gimel, depending on your edition of the tour, cites a tradition, a Kabbalah from the Bahag, the Bahalachos Gedolos. We're unsure who wrote the Bahag, but one of the great books of the Gonim, who says that we have a tradition at the yurt site of Yehoshua ben Nun, our great leader, is on Chaf of Nisan, which is on this coming Shabbos. So I felt it's certainly appropriate to have appreciation for Yehoshua ben Nun, the leader after Moshe Rabbeinu. The Meshech Chachma writes in his Hakdama to Sefer Shmos that Yehoshua ben Nun also had an Aspak Lari Hamira, also had a perfect vision of Hashem and his Nevuah, because he also had to write down the Torah, the last eight Sukkim. And therefore, he feels that he also had this level of Nevuah for a moment in time, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, his Rebbe. So Yehoshua is sometimes someone who, as the Gemara said, is the moon to Moshe Rabbeinu's son, and sometimes we pass over him and don't really think so much about Yehoshua's role, unless you're learning Sefer Yehoshua, but certainly an important part of Jewish history. And we have a tradition, as we'll see in a moment, that one of our most beloved tefillos, Aleinu, comes from the pen of Yehoshua ben Nun himself, and we'll see why, and we'll see where that comes from, and hopefully we'll gain a little bit more of appreciation, some halachos, some hashkafos regarding this beloved tefillah of Klal Yisrael of Aleinu. The Torah writes in Kuf Lamed Gimel, at the end of the laws of davening, that the halacha is that one should recite Aleinu after Shachris. And many of the earliest siddurim, all the earliest siddurim we have, contain versions of what we have today as Aleinu L'Shabech Adon HaKol. The Hagos of the Ma'ari Abu Hab that are printed along with the Torah says that Aleinu was composed by Yehoshua ben Nun before he conquered Yericho. And the Vilna Gaon's son of Avraham ben Agra cites a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer that we do not have. This is also noted by Rabbeinu Nassim, cited by the Ma'ari Abu Hab, who's the author of the Sefer HaMachim. In his Sefer, he says the source that Yehoshua wrote Aleinu is from the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, but we don't have it in our versions of the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, but it must have been in such a book of the Midrashim before, nonetheless. There he writes, how do we see in Aleinu that Yehoshua left his signature? He says it's very clear. Aleinu, the letters of Aleinu, of the four sentences of Aleinu, spell the author's name backwards. Where do we see this? Aleinu L'Shabech Adon HaKol is Ayin. Shin of Shiloh Asanu Kegrei HaRatzos is the Shin of Yehoshua. Then comes the Vav of Va'anachnu Korim. And finally, the Hey of Hu Elokeinu. And that is Yehoshua's name backwards. Where's the Yud? Isn't his name Yehoshua, not Hosea? Well, that's only what Moshe calls him, says the Medrash. He didn't call himself Hosea. Moshe calls him Yehoshua. So when he wrote it according to the acrostic letters of his name, backwards from Aleinu, Shulasanu, Ve'anachu Korim, and Hu Elokeinu. So that's where we see that Yehoshua's name is written within the work that he penned himself. He left out the Yid, as we said, in the Siddur of Shimon of Germiza. He says that Aleinu has 152 letters in it. That depends on the gears of Aleinu that you have. 152 is the gematria of Ben Nun as well. And the Chida writes in the Maksik Brach and Simon Kuf Lamed Beis that Yehoshua wrote Aleinu, but it wasn't established as part of Tefillah until the basin of Yochanan and Zakkai by Churban Abayis. And the Chida again says in the Devash Lefina Ma'areches Ayin that Yehoshua ben Nun was the descendant of Yosef HaTzadik. We know that he came from the Shevet of Yosef, who was called Shor, and Aleinu L'Shabech has a gematria of Shor. All different types of references to Yehoshua within the work itself, showing that he is the author. The idea that Yehoshua wrote Aleinu is repeated in the Tashbit Zakatan Rishon Gimel, in the name of the Maharam, the Seder Hayom, and the Seder Hayom is cited by Rav Avram Azulai, as a ghost in Lavush, and the Kaf HaChaim. Everyone seems to agree to this Kabbalah. We'll see that maybe it's not agreed upon by everyone, but almost everyone agrees to this tradition that Aleinu was composed by Yehoshua himself.
Is that Aleinu
and Kuni Elkin, or just... we've got to get to it. So, why did Yehoshua write Aleinu then? So we know that he wrote it. Why? What did he see? What happened that he felt the need to write this very beautiful tefillah? So there are a number of reasons, just to be aware, some of the reasons I came across in an entire sefer that's 600 pages long, just on Aleinu, by Rav Eitan Shoshan of Eretz Yisrael. He's written a lot of svarim that are very, very thick, that are dealing with one very specific topic. He has an 800-page sefer on Kriya Shema Lamita, another sefer just on making 100 brachos a day. He gets very into one topic, and he writes hundreds of pages on this one topic. So he has a multi, he has 600 pages just on the Tefillah of Aleinu. So he has some Maramakomos that I wouldn't have seen on my own. So there are a number of reasons given. The first we saw, so from the Gaonim as well, also cited in the Tshuva of Gaonim, that Rav Haigon says, Yeshua established Aleinu when they entered Eretz Yisrael to show how the Goyim bow down to their false gods, but we have our God, right? Aleinu l'shevach. We daven to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, not like the Goyim who lived in Eretz Yisrael. The Rokeach writes in his Siddur that Aleinu l'shevach to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, when Yeshua entered Eretz Yisrael and saw the foolishness of Avodah Zarah and how they were living in the land, so something that was specific again to Eretz Yisrael. In that Shuvah of the Goyim from Rav Haigon, he gives another explanation that it was thanking Hashem for bringing Yehoshua and Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. And it says, right, we say in Aleinu that we went before the Kisei HaKavod, Umosha Zikaro, right, we go before Hashem's Kisei HaKavod, and that refers to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, is Hashem's Kisei HaKavod, where Hashem resides. And therefore, Yehoshua is being Makir Tov to Hashem, that Moshe didn't make it, but I was able to make it. And therefore, that was a praise towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Moshe of Gemaizen, his sitter, says that Yehoshua recited Aleinu 7 times. That the walls of Yericho actually had 7 layers around them. And each day, another layer fell until the last day. And each day he recited Aleinu, another layer of the wall fell until, as we know, the walls came tumbling down. The Chayyadam in Klal Samech Tes writes a very beautiful pshat. If you look at Aleinu, there are 4 negative statements in the Tefillah of Aleinu. 4 times we say, we do this, but we don't do this like they do this. What are they? First is Shaloh Asanu Kegoyeha Arasos, right? Now, Hashem didn't make us like the nations of the other lands, right? The neshama of a Jew comes from a more refined, different place than other people. Below Samanu, that our laws are Alpi HaTorah, and not based on the manners and societal norms of other places. 3, Shaloh Sam Chalkenu, right? That the non-Jews of the world are seen over by Malachim. They have Sarim, different offices of Hashem, who take care of them, but we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have a Kadosh Baruch Hu who watches over us directly. And finally, right, Shalosan Chokinu Begoraleinu Kechol Hamonam, that we have the portion of Eretz Yisrael, which is closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, unlike the nations of the world. And Moshe said all of, Yehoshua said all of this when he came to Eretz Yisrael and wanted to highlight these things in being Makir Tov to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, Rav Putner, not in the Pachad Yitzchak, but in the Rishumos Lev, which are the notes of the Talmidim, written by Rav Hutner's Yontif table on Sukkos. So Rav Hutner said that Aleinu L'Shabeach was composed by Yehoshua as part of the Simcha Shel Mitzvah of fulfilling the Torah commandments of removing Avodah Zarah. But there's a Torah commandment to remove Avodah Zarah. And Yehoshua was so besimcha that he wrote a tefillah to Hashem that now in Eretz Yisrael there's Avodah Zarah fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. And this was Hashem's tefillah, this was Yehoshua's tefillah in praise of Hashem to fulfill this mitzvah. So all different type of reasons probably revolving around the center theme that Yehoshua coming to Eretz Yisrael were different than the non-Jews was certainly the major theme of Aleinu. Now, for the sake of intellectual honesty, there are 2 other approaches as to who is the editor or author of Aleinu. Some, like Rabbi Yosef Shaul Nathanson, the author of the Shaul Umeshiv, writes in his Divrei Shaul on Shulchan Aruch and Avelis Shinayin Vav, he says that it comes from the Anshe Knesset Gedola. Where do we see this? Because we see an expression in Aleinu that we only find in the days of Daniel, and that is Melech Malchei Hamlachim. That description of Hashem, says the Shaul Umeshiv, is only something that we find used in the days of Daniel, and therefore it must have come afterwards in the Anshe Knesset Gedola to use such a description. We don't find it earlier. That is explanation number 1. Number 2 is from the Ksava Kabbalah, not in his Perush on the Torah, but in his Iyun Tefillah on the Siddur, which I saw was just reformatted and republished by Mosad Rav Kook. So everyone should go out and get it. So he writes in his beautiful Perush there that he thinks the author is Rav. Rav of the Rav and Shmuel team, right? The one who always argues with Shmuel, Rav and Shmuel. Why Rav? Because Rav is also the composer of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Rav is the one who composed the Seder of Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. And Aleinu, says the Ksav HaKabbalah, is simply coming from the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. meaning he understands that they didn't insert Aleinu that it existed previously. He says that Aleinu was written for the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, when we say Aleinu, we simply pulled it out of the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, and it must be that Rav of the Rav and Shmuel is the author of Aleinu. So those are some views amongst the Achronim against the majority of views that it's Yehoshua. What?
Actually, Shmuel didn't make up Shmuel Esrei?
No, the Tefillah of Rosh Hashanah was specifically composed by Rav.
So that means before, and they couldn't have had this idea of the how they both kids for tzkiyas d'oraisa, the boom, you know, this Rav is way after Korban.
No, just the text. There might have been some sort of thing that was done before, but the specific text that we have comes from Rav. That's what the Ksava Kabbalah says. Now, the Siddur of Rosh Shlomo of Gemaizah, Saitre Birachasus, felt that Yehoshua also Alkin Nekav Alecha, which is the second part of Aleinu that we always have. And this is the same Shvach, right? It's the same ideas. Al-Kain contains the same themes and the same messages that we find in Aleinu itself. And this is what's cited by the Rokech and the Mekor Chaim as well. It also appears that the Maharal assumes this as well. The Maharal and the Ber Hagola assumes, without question, that Yehoshua wrote Al-Kain HaKavalacha. That's one approach. The other famous approach from the Seder Hayom is that it was written by Achan, right? We know the story that Achan took from the spoils of war, and he was punished, and he did vidui. He clapped al-chayt for his sins, for stealing from Hashem and stealing from Bnei Yisrael, and he wrote and composed al-kein kavalacha as a vidui to Hashem for what he did wrong. And we see in the first letters, al-kein nekava spells Achan. And Achan, they say, is the author of the second part of Aleinu, which makes sense, Yehoshua and Achan together living at the same time. Now, so we establish that we say Aleinu. No questions about that. Now, the minug is to say Aleinu at Shachas Mincha Marav. The Torah only said we say Aleinu at Shachas. So where did it come from that we say it in all three tefillos as well? So the Knesset HaGadolah in Siman Reish Lamed Daled cites the Torah seemingly saying that Aleinu should not be said at Mincha. Nobody said to say Aleinu at Mincha. Why should we say it there at all? In addition, the Abu Draham in his Siddur makes no mention of saying Aleinu outside of Shachas itself. Again, no clear source. So what is the source to say Aleinu? And Minchan Marv as well, comes the Magen Avram in Kuf Lamed Beis and says it is from the Arizal. The Arizal is the one who instituted saying Aleinu at all three tefillos. And the minhag is cited even earlier in the Kolbo and Siman Tes Zayin. And this is the minhag is clearly like the Magen Avram says that we do say Aleinu at Shachas, at Mincha, and Marv as well. This fits with the Bach. The Bach writes in Kuf Lamed Gimel, why is that we end davening with Aleinu? What's the reason? Because Aleinu is a shot of emunah. It's a chizuk to ourselves as we go out into the world. Right? A person finishes davening Shachas, he's going to go into business and wherever his parnasa is. And Aleinu is one last reminder that, oh, by the way, don't forget, Hashem runs the world. Before you go out and you have to deal with other people, Aleinu is one final reminder to give us strength that Hashem is in charge of the world.
Oh, yeah, it was
Nusach Sfar. So there's a whole issue of Nusach Sfar where they put it. We don't have time to do anything. And what a person should do if he's Nusach Ashkenaz, Davin Nusach Sfar Minyan, Nusach Sfar, Davin Ashkenazi Minyan, where should they say Aleinu? Should they say Aleinu twice? We'll have to save something for another time. But that's a whole issue on its own. So Aleinu is this kind of final hurrah. And therefore, it might make sense as well, according to the Bach, to say Aleinu at Mincha Marv as well. One, you davened, and Aleinu is this one last note of inspiration before leaving the shul, going into the world.
Why do we do it after Mincha? I'm just saying, because on Yom Kippur, we don't do it.
We'll get to that as well.
No, I'm trying to get the argument.
No, I'll get to that as well. No. We'll discuss different places where it might not occur. So that is the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah in Kuf Lamed Beis Sifkat Zion cites the Magen Giborim, who says that in shuls where they go straight from Mincha to Marav, where you have a Mincha Marav, there's no reason to say Aleinu after Mincha. Because just like by Yom Kippur, where technically you're supposed to go from Musaf into Mincha, many shuls don't, they have a nice break, but technically you're supposed to go from Musaf into Mincha, you don't say Aleinu, because Aleinu is one last hurrah before you go out into the streets. But if you're going to go straight from Mincha Marav on a weeknight, you're not going out into the streets. Why are you saying Aleinu after Mincha? Nevertheless, this is the minhag, according to the Arizal. It's hard to understand why. No one should not start saying Aleinu now because of this.
Maybe because the Kaddish after that.
Because we want to say the Kaddish. We'll discuss the Kaddish after Aleinu.
Does anybody say Aleinu if they leave after Musaf on Rosh Hashanah?
And Yom Kippur?
I'm sorry, Yom Kippur.
I don't know any shul. I never heard anyone.
You see, the whole source is feeling on Yom Kippur, is not the way we do it, because they don't have an usher before mincha. You never go to the table.
This is the minhag as it is. So aleinu is said after all three tefillos, even though it might not be clear why we do say aleinu after between a mincha marav. The kolbo in Siman Taz Zayin cites the pirkei of the Ezra we said before, who wants to explain how great aleinu is. The kolbo says that aleinu is shevach gadol, and therefore should be recited while standing. That's why we stand. It's this amazing, beautiful praise, and it demands proper kavod to stand during it. The Chida writes in the Masechet Bracha and Reish Lamed Beis, quoting Rav Haigon, who says that aleinu is so great, it should be recited with one's talus over their head, to have proper kovod rosh, proper concentration when reciting aleinu. In fact, the Tshuvas of the Torah, the Shman, Simen Kuf, and Ches, says the talus should remain on your head until aleinu, because reciting aleinu creates great tikkunim, great rectifications in the upper and the lower worlds, whatever that means, and certainly requires great concentration and dedication. The Tzeda L'Derech in Maimer Aleph and Klal Aleph and Perek Lamed Zayin writes that aleinu is a beautiful tefillah, and one should not be lenient regarding its recital. Don't treat it like a joke. And the Elia Rabin Kuf Amid Beis cites the Matan Moshe, who says when a person recites aleinu, all of the heavens listen. Whatever's going on in Shemayim stops, so the Malachim and the Kadosh Baruch Hu can answer, Ashrei Ha'am Shekach Alav. When we say Aleinu, they say in Shalom, praiseworthy is such a nation that acts in such a way. Unfortunately, as we know, some people use Aleinu as a Tfilas Haderech, as they're leaving Shul, and don't give it the proper cover. The Mishnah in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos says that by Yom Kippur, Omdim tzufufin u'mishtachavim revachim, right? When they stood in the base of Mikdash, it was cramped. When it came time to bow, there was plenty of space. So the Magidim like to say, Omdim, during Amida, it's very crowded in the shul. During Shemesh, it's very crowded because everyone's there. But when it comes to mishtachavim, when it comes time to bow during Aleinu, revachim, there's a lot of space in shul, because people are already halfway out the door, and nobody sticks around to the end. So that's certainly not appropriate. Aleinu is an integral and important part of Tzila, and it should be treated as such. The author is important, the kavana behind it is important, and all these things are an important part of the recitation of aleinu. The kolbo continues, the gematria of aleinu is mu'umad. It should be done mu'umad while standing, and the kolbo is cited by the Darkei Moshe and the Ramah, and certainly aleinu has enough significance in Shemayim in this world that it should be stood for, paid attention to, and given the proper kavod. Next, the Matan Moshe mentions the idea of bowing during aleinu. Why is it that we bow during aleinu? So this is mentioned in the Tshuva of Haigon before as well. And this is what the Magen Avraham writes in Kuf Lamed Beis. Not the Shulchan Aruch, but the Magen Avraham says that we should bow. When we say Va'anachnu Korim, why? You don't look like an apikores, like a heretic. Because you just said Va'anachnu Korim Mishtachavim. We all bow down to Hashem. But not me. I'm not bowing right now. So of course you have to bow. Meaning, inherently within aleinu, nothing demands that you bow. The reason we bow during aleinu is an outside reason to make sure we don't look like liars when saying aleinu. This is important. Why? Because there's a very popular shita in the Rishonim, and also cited by the Vilna Gaon, that one is not supposed to bow outside of the takanos of Chazal. Only the things we find in the Gemara from the Tanaim and Amarayim should one bow for. Aleinu isn't technically in the Gemara. And therefore, some want to question, why is it that we do bow during aleinu? So the answer is, we don't bow because we think this is a takana or there's a mitzvah to bow here. We bow for an outside reason, because we don't want to look like heretics when we say everyone bows to Hashem, but we're not bowing down. So therefore we bow out of a technicality, but not because inherently the tefillah demands bowing on its own. And therefore that alleviates the problem of bowing outside of places not ordained by Chazal. Next, the Arizal and the Shara Kavanos in Inyanei Tefillin says that one's tefillin should be left on until after aleinu, and this is cited by the Magen Avraham in Or HaChaim Chafei, and the Artzus HaChaim explains why, because it says, Liros Mehera Tiferes Uzecha. They should see the Tiferes, the Pe'er. What's the Pe'er of the Jewish people? Tefillin. So how could a person say they're going to see Tiferes Uzecha, your Tiferes, when it's already in your Tefillin Zechel? So keep it on till after aleinu, says the Arizal and the Magen Avraham. Then the Shulchan Aruch notes in Orachaim Samachei Gimel, based on the Russian brachos, that if you enter a shul where people are saying Shema, it's proper derech eretz to say Shema as well. Because if you don't, then it looks like for not being makabel ol malchus shemayim. Right? Everyone's saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Hashem Echad, and you're dancing around, not doing anything. So certainly it's a proper thing to do for derech eretz. So the Magen Avraham there cites the Tanya Rabasi of the Rishonim in the Shiboli Aleket, citing a gaon, an unnamed gaon, whoever this may be, who says that this includes any other thing that Tzibor may be saying, that it might look like you're not participating. And the example they give is Ashrei. If you walk in and you already daven, but the Tzibor is saying Ashrei, you should say Ashrei as well, because it looks strange that you're not saying this communal tefillah along with the rest of the Tzibor. It's proper derech eretz. Now, the Gemara in Brachos Afaf says that there's a concept of Kedesh Oyeh Kol Ha'olam Oskimbo Hu Yoshev Hu Batal. It's not proper that everybody's doing something and you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs. That's why it's proper to say Ashrei Shema when people are davening. So it comes to Machatzis HaShekel on that Magen Avraham in Siman Samachay, and commenting to what the Magen Avraham says, is if you walk into shul and they're saying Aleinu, you have to say Aleinu as well. That's a tefillah that Tzibur is participating in. Even though you already davened, Aleinu should be said along with them as well. This is what the Mishnah Berurah writes there. And the Maamar Mordechai says this is obviously Rishus if you want to, it's a proper thing to do, but it's not a chovah to say Aleinu if you already davened or you weren't up to davening yet. Next, let's discuss the Kaddish after Aleinu. There seems to be a lack of clarity in regards to what to do with this Kaddish. So the Rambam has a tshuva in the beginning of the Meiser Rokeach. There's a number of handwritten tshuvas of the Rambam, not printed in the tshuvas of the Rambam, printed in a later book called the Meiser Rokeach. So he says, and this is later printed in the Per Hador and Kuf Lamed, that after Divrei Torah, a person should say Kaddish. It's proper to say Kaddish, to thank Hashem, and to mark an end to the Torah being learned with a Kaddish. However, he does seem to imply that Kaddish should not be said after Psukim alone, and there must be some form of Torah Shebaal Peh. This is something that people are sometimes unclear about why do we say the Hananya ben Akasha, right? Because it's a Kaddish Derabbanan going on the Torah of the Derabbanan, of the Torah Shebaal Peh. That's why after learning, people often say Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha to make sure that you said something that's Torah Shebaal Peh and Agadata. Really, the Iker Din, according to Rishonim, and this is what the Magen Avraham says, is that Kaddish should be said after Agadata, not after Halacha, but after Machshava, after Jewish thought. That's why, between Mincha Maariv, when we learn Pirkei Avos, I don't say Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha, because we already learned Machshava, so there's no reason to say another piece of Machshava. If you learn Halacha, and you want to cover all your bases, then it's proper to say Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha, in order to make sure you have a piece of Machshava to follow Kaddish, right? So, in this case as well, seemingly, it should only be said by Torah Shebaal Peh. However, comes the Orach Chaim and the Kobo, says that Kaddish can even be recited after Sukkim alone, and this is the opinion of Rashi and Hasidur and the Master of Vitri, and the opinion of most Achronim, including the Mishnah Berurah, in Siman Nun Hey, who says that you can say Kaddish after Sukkim alone. And therefore the Rama writes in Kuf Lamed Beis, at the end of Davening, Sif Beis, that after Aleinu, Kaddish Yosom is said. You should say Kaddish Yosom because you recited something that is like Sukkim. You recited some form of Divrei Torah.
Why not Kaddish Durabana?
What?
Why not Kaddish Durabanan?
So it's a fair question, why not Kaddish Durabanan? The Minhag developed all the way from the Maharil, in the Tshuvas of the Maharil, in Siman Samach Dalid, that it's a Kaddish Yasam that said. For whatever the reason is, it's a Kaddish Yasam that said to mark the end of this recitation of some form of Torah.
Most of our Kaddish Durabanan, a few times you say it, are always based not just after a couple psukim, after like substantial.
Substantial. It could be.
The korbanos is substantial.
Yeah. It could be. I'm not sure.
I'm not saying that's.
No. I don't know why. It could be that maybe it's not enough. But whatever, the Maharil writes in the Tshuva that it's proper to say Kaddish Yosem afterwards. To the extent, he says, that even if there's no one there who's technically a Yosem in the middle of a Velus saying Kaddish, it should still be said by someone who is technically a Yosem. They don't have a mother or a father, they can say Kaddish. Even if there is no one there who has not lost a parent, someone should say it as long as their parents don't object to them saying Kaddish. It should still be said. That's how important it is. Nevertheless, it's a minhag. If you don't say it, then it's not wonderful, but it's not like you've missed out on Iker Tila. But it's a minhag, says the Maharil, to say such a Kaddish after Aleinu in all cases, regardless of what is going on.
What this shul does, which I think is not the average, is when they, on between Elul and that, they don't do a Kaddish after Eleinu, they push it off to...
After, so that's a question of when it comes to other things, Saba Eleinu, is that being subsumed over what Eleinu is?
Well, that just becomes... So the Moshe will do it this way, say they have to be after Eleinu, and then
correct.
They get the extra one, but what you're saying...
Here they just subsume it under the same thing. Now, regarding the difference of placements of Eleinu, regarding Nusach Tzvad and Ashkenaz, perhaps we'll discuss it another time. Let's just end with two, I think, very important thoughts about Eleinu itself. On May 26th, 1171, which was will be dedicated as Chaf Sivan, a day in which Klai Yisrael fasted for centuries, so the Jewish community of Blois in France was massacred after it was accused of blood libel. It was the first blood libel in continental Europe against Jews. It was the first time there was a blood libel in 1171. What happened is that they saw a Jew who was carrying skins down to the water to be washed. He was dealing with animal skins, and non-Jews, a Christian, saw him and thought that it looked strange, like the body of someone. And he went back to the town and told them that the Jews were using some Christian children for something, and it became hysterical, and they couldn't stop it, and it led to a terrible blood libel. And on May 26th of that year, 31 Jews, maybe 33 Jews, were locked inside a house that was set on fire and burned to the ground. There were several children who were spared on condition they convert to Christianity, and a few adults were given prison sentences instead. In a letter from the person in that town who witnessed what happened to Rabbeinu Tam, he records that as the building went on fire, and the Jews saw what was about to happen to them, they knew their end was near, they began to sing in a very haunting tune. And the Christians were so moved by this tune, they wanted to know what it was. And they sang the tune to the Jews, and the Jews immediately recognized that it was the tune to Aleinu. And they saw that these holy people, in their last moments, the song they chose to end their lives with was Aleinu L'Shabeach L'Adon Hakol. And it has become part of Jewish lore, Jewish liturgy, and had such a strong impact, a message that we resonate with, the dying on Kiddush Hashem, and there's a whole discussion about the very controversial sentence in the middle, whether Jews would spit at that point in davening. It was taken out, it was put back in. Varik is a gematria of Yeshu HaNotri. Maybe he was referring to Yeshu HaNotri of the Christian gods. But this song became a central part, certainly for the Ashkenazim, of their view of what was going around them in Europe at that time. Just regarding being mechazek oneself in Aleinu, there's a story I like to tell I've told it over a number of times, from Chaim Stein, who was the Rosh Yeshiva in Tells. One time after davening, a young boy came over to Reb Chaim Stein and said he has such trouble concentrating at the end of davening during Aleinu because people are rushing out, it's distracting, there's a lot going on, and he has trouble focusing during Aleinu. So he asked the Rosh Yeshiva Tells, what can I do to help strengthen my own davening when it comes to Aleinu? So Reb Chaim Stein looked at the young boy and said, I also have trouble sometimes concentrating on Aleinu. But you know what I do? And he brought the young boy around his shtender, and he opened up the shender and showed him that inside was a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur machzer. And he said, sometimes when I have trouble focusing Aleinu, I open up the machzer to the Rosh Hashanah Musaf. And I read it from the place in the davening of Malchios. And when I see the machzer, and I hold the machzer, and I read it from that place, it gives me a greater sense of awe and respect. It changes it up a little bit. And then just for a few moments, it gives me the kavanah and the concentration to be able to say Aleinu with the proper dignity that it deserves. So sometimes we need to trick ourselves. We need to come up with different ways to help us focus, to appreciate this tefillah, and really maximize the messages and the lessons that it has for us and Klal Yisrael. Should be a zechus for the neshama of Yehoshua ben Nun.